Hello and welcome to the Heads and Volleys podcast with me, Lee Dunn. This episode is going to explore the training environment that you have within your own team, and then perhaps if you have the impact across a club, what you're doing across the club. Now, I really want to start with the idea of a holistic environment, somewhere that a player can go and fit in, somewhere a player can be comfortable, somewhere it is safe for a player. You follow the US Soccer Federation pathway, a lot of it has become about everything away from the field as well as much as on the field. So the idea being that it's not just the X's and the O's and the setting up of cones and goals on the field, but how you actually engage with players and how you do that in an environment that is encompassing for players to develop and want to continue to play. Majority of us are working with grassroots level players, whether that's competitive or recreational. I still call it grassroots because this is the grassroots before the players go on to the next level, whether they're looking at high school or college and even into the pros. So working in this grassroots environment, how do you encourage and embrace every single individual? Coach an 11v11 team, you might have 18 players, you might even have 22 players in some instances. How do you get to know every single player? How do you challenge every single player? And this comes from a personal perspective when I was younger and coming through my own soccer experience and joining teams and having different experiences with different coaches where there may be a macho bully type coach that put me off or didn't quite embrace or ask questions or simply told me what to do. I was having issues outside of soccer too, personally. So then I go into the sport that I love. And then I'm facing the same issues from the people who are supposed to be providing the environment for me to play. Then look at taking that into your own environment now, thinking about where your players are coming from. We've just had a year off in California. Season just started last weekend. So I know we're probably 6 months behind the rest of the country, but we've had players not in training environments for so long. Now, what are we doing for those players when they come back? Can we embrace them further? Can we improve? Can we develop our training environment to be all that more encompassing? Can we improve it so much more that these players are all in when they come back to soccer? And not just thinking about maybe I kind of missed soccer or it's just a habit, but it's actually the place that I really want to be. The first thing I want to focus on is the skill of asking questions. And not just how are you or kind of what's going on in your life, because they tend to elicit baseless answers. It's like when you see your neighbor outside and you ask, hey, how are you? You don't really care how they are, or at least I don't think you do. Most people probably don't. I know often I ask that same question hollowly, and then perhaps I get into a conversation with someone and sometimes I think, oh, why did I do that? Or other times I actually feel enlightened because they actually gave me an answer. But it's super rare to get a sort of conversation from a how are you type question. So getting to know players on an individual level, I always have a challenge for myself when I work with a group of players or with a team. Can I have an individual point of contact with every single player? So again, 18, 22 players, that's a lot of time to focus on individuals and not just the overall coaching of the environment. So why do you play? What do you want to achieve within the game? Where do you want to go with the game? Do you just like to play soccer because it's fun? Or do you like to play with your friends? Do you want to go to college? Do you want to be a pro? How do I know these things about you? And I've been a long time advocate of IDPs. And the IDP will give you as much information as you need to then be able to engage with that with every single player at training. Because you know what their goals are. You know what they're working towards. So that's a constant point of reference. I know that you want to be a pro. Did you watch a game last weekend? I know your favorite player is Messi. Did you see Messi play in the Clásico last weekend? Now, what do you understand? What do you not understand? These are all components in my IDP template. These are things that you can ask a player and begin to understand what they do and do not understand. And now you have a constant point of reference to help them develop within the game's environment that you've created. Just from a simple conversation with a player, do you know why we might want to play the ball into that space there? Why do we look to play into the feet of the number nine? Why do we look to break that line of pressure? Why did you decide to play sideways into the pressure there? Now I want to build on, what do you think? What are you thinking when you get the ball? What are you thinking when you see such and such have the ball in a certain space? What are you thinking when the opponent does this? What do you want to do? What do you think we should be doing in this space? We want to play in this certain way. We've, as a team, have decided that this is going to be our approach. Now, what do you think of that? Do you think we need to change that? Do you think there are moments where we can do a little bit better? The complement to asking questions into part two is going to be to listen. Questions are essential, I believe, and not just baseless questions that elicit one-word answers, but really asking questions that are going to encourage me to listen and then develop from listening so I can engage. And my number one thing is, tell me more and how can I help you? So you've told me that you think that's not working, or you think that you are failing in this area. Perhaps it's the first touch under pressure. Perhaps it's the short pass from the goalkeeper that instantly activates the opponent to press us as hard as they can. So how can I help you? Is that a team thing where we need to look at how we're going to play in certain moments? Or do I need to help you away from the field and give you some suggestions for home training and a home development plan to continue to develop your IDP to give you the confidence to play soccer? I don't know this unless I ask them and then I listen. So then I can evaluate, what does this individual need from me? How can I provide more support to them? And then how can I challenge them further? Because I don't want a question and an answer to simply be all about failings or where a player is struggling, because then there's a constant conversation of how they could be better, how they could do more. And it's all about should and could. When I look at the other side, I think about how a player is probably excelling in certain areas. How can I continue to challenge you on that? Even down to simple things like juggling records. Can you juggle with your heel every 5 juggles? Can you do this? Can you do that? Can I expand on that? Can I challenge you further simply based on the question and answer that you're giving me? Part 3 and part 4 are going to be about challenging the players. Not, can you do it faster, or can you score 100 goals in a season, or can you connect 10 passes in a half, or win 5 headers? Not necessarily challenges like that, but challenges to them on an individual level. Again, going to an IDP, again, going to know about the individual. So what are you going to do? That's my challenge to you. What are you going to do? Today, your position is going to be central midfield. What's important for you in that position? What's important for the team? What are you going to do? How can you put your position profile into action in this game to benefit the team, to benefit you as an individual, to improve, to have success? How can you measure the success in this game? Remembering, of course, that the traditional success is all about winning. It's all about points on the board. It's all about scoring the most goals. But only one team can win the division. Yes, in a game, there are 3 outcomes. You win, you lose, you tie. So based on that, we've got a 30%, 33% chance of actually having success in the game. When I tie in an IDP and an individual position profile, now the profile says of a central midfielder that they need to find balls into the channel, for example, or they need to combine with the number 9 to break a line of pressure from the midfield. How many times did you do that? Did you attempt to do that multiple times? Did you work with the striker on where you guys can find the spaces to do that against a tight defense or against being man-marked? That is success. We're trying to develop our game understanding. We're trying to apply our positional profile and our game model into the game. It's not just, did we win or did we lose? Therefore, did we succeed or did we fail? But how did you do? Did you make a difference? And then how are you going to do it? Coach, I see that their center back is a big, tall kid and he's fast. Okay, so what are we going to do about that? How are you going to impose our model or our style of play against a player with that type of characteristic? And then why will it work? And then my favorite question, what happens if it does not? What happens if it does not work? What happens if we fail? We try to play into feet, we try to play into channels, and they just continue to steal the ball because they're perhaps sat deep. How can you impact the game? How can you change things up so that we can have success? Which takes me to part four of guiding and not just giving answers, not just saying that we're failing playing into feet, so I want you to do this, but instead using moments within the game. Youth soccer has rolling substitutions, which are a wonderful tool to take a player off and observe in the heat of the moment exactly what's happening. Then I can talk to that player and say, why do you think that's happening? How do you think we can get around that? Do you want to know what I think? Or perhaps, why don't you go and try what you just said? Why don't you go and give it a go? Or why don't, from a coach's perspective, what about if we tried this? Do you think you could do that? Do you think you could do that? Now, in the heat of a game, in the chaos of the moments, it's tough. There are very few trends within youth soccer. I find typically, especially in the grassroots level, there's very few trends. So very, very, very infrequently will the same player get the same ball in the same space and look to make the same sorts of passes. Or tend to, if they do, and a typical trend would be taking a short corner. You may get one or two short corners in, and then every time you get a corner from there on out, the opponent is going to be set up to defend against a short corner. So there's a trend that we can make a change to. We look to play long and over the top. A clever team, a clever coach may start dropping away or starting to force the play in certain ways. So there will always be moments of trends, but you often find that your game model may be a little too complex or a little too deep for trends to really show themselves. So then we're going to take away just those few moments and those position profiles of when a player is looking to do certain things and then guide them through that. How can you control this moment? How can I control this moment with you? How can I encourage you in this moment? How can I guide you to keep trying it, to give it a go? And I'm going to ask those questions. I'm going to listen. And then from the challenge will become my guide for those players. Now, I just want to reiterate that a lot of my training environment is games. It's small-sided games. So when I talk about the games previously in the last 12 minutes or so, it's all about the training environment that I've created and then challenging those players. There's some moments of game reference in there too, of course, because everything we do is really building towards that game. But this is the training environment. This is about getting our players ready and translating from that training to that game. Often a coach will have an issue with not being able to translate their training environment to the game. I think a lot of that is due in part to it failing to look like the game. So every moment should be translatable, and every training game should be a moment that builds within what we're looking to achieve when we actually play the game on the weekend. Now, the fifth part, and the most essential part, I believe, is to celebrate. Celebrate not just the victories. As I mentioned, we can only win 33% of the time, but creating measurements for success. Can we celebrate failures? Can we celebrate the amount of times a player has tried to play a certain pass or has tried to connect with a certain player in a certain area of the field as a failure because they tried it, and then use it as a learning moment to encourage them to continue to work on that because that's part of our game model, that's part of their position profile? Can we celebrate individual success? I've worked with coaches who have had individual player objectives for games, and then has spent time after every game, whether that's a day after or what have you, in training in the next time, and then been able to say, you achieved this in your individual goals from the training into the game. These were your individual goals, and you did a brilliant job. Do you pick a champion or a man of training? Do you pick a champion from both sides if you're doing small-sided games in a training environment? Do you identify that player? Think about individual skill development when you have every player with a ball and then you're trying to teach them a pullback, and then you've got a kid that can do it really, really well, and then you say, hey, everybody, just stop there. Just have a look at Carlos over here. He's doing a pullback. Look how great he does it. That's individual success. Can you do that within a small-sided game? Ball goes out of play. We're just retrieving the ball before we restart. I just want you guys to notice how well Liam did there. Look at the pass he played. Look how he tried to get the ball into that space. An individual success, maybe a failure, but he's working towards that. That's a celebration. Every time we score a goal, do we just, in training or in a game, especially in training, we put goals out because we want to score goals as a reward or a completion of the moment of the game? But do you celebrate that goal? You do a little fist pump like Harry Kane, little jump in the air, you do an aeroplane. Do you celebrate these successes? Now, I talked about individual goals. Do we as a team, did we all show up to training? Did we all show up wearing the right gear? These might be celebrations if you're having issues with team buy-in and creating this culture amongst your team of supportiveness or even cohesion, developing the cohesion across the team. Uniforms are a great way to start. Everybody's wearing the same thing. We are one team. We're all working together. We identify the same. That's a success. Now we look at going into an actual game from our training environment. If after training we all shake hands or all high fives or fist bumps or whatever the COVID restrictions are going to allow you to do in your game, whether it's being in your training environment, the black shirts versus the blue shirts, you still respect each other. We still celebrate our opponents. Thinking about the methodology for US soccer and the approach is to train both sides of the ball. The concept being, if I train the defenders to create a problem for the attackers are going to have to play better. The attackers are going to improve because the problem that's being presented to them by the defenders is so good that they have to raise their own game. When those attackers raise their own game, the defenders then have to raise their game as well, because now they're trying to match an opponent that's working harder because they're making them work harder. So now we're celebrating our opponents in that environment, we're celebrating our teammates, and we're always celebrating the game. If anything, the last year has taught us that we kind of took for granted the hours on the field, the time away at games, the amount of games perhaps, but then that's what we really want. That's what we're all really excited to get back to right now. And if we're not celebrating that because we're losing, and just last weekend, the season kicks off, and I already hear about coaches fighting in games. Coaches fighting in games and shouting at each other, and one coach gets sent off, and then it's a big deal between two clubs. One weekend back into games after a year of no games. That's not a celebration. That's not an environment that's allowing our players to feel comfortable, to feel good, to want to develop, to want to be a part of it. We go into our training environment and it's a player-led space. It's a player development environment. And there's no reason why the game should be any different. So I want to wrap up this quick podcast with just a reflection. You can improve your training environment by asking questions. You can improve it even further by listening and then thinking about what your response is going to be, how you're going to challenge those players appropriately based on the answers that they're giving you, based on the questions that you're asking. You have a model and a profile, then you can use those to begin to shape those questions away from just, how are you? Can you challenge your players, but guide them through that challenge and not just give them the answers? And then celebrations. Celebrate everything about your players. Celebrate everything about being in the game. We had a long year off, and here we are, back in the game, back on the field, back with the players, which is something that we all say we want. So let's improve this environment for our players and then for ourselves, empowering these individuals to be better than they can ever be. Because that's what we all want. That's what I want. That's what I think every single player will want from you when you say, what do you want from soccer? So there you have it. My insights, my advice, my guidance to how we can all improve our training environments. Let me know what you think at Lee Dunn Soccer.